This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is repurposing, the next big real estate trend. Hey, but before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys, as I like to do every week here, and just see how you're doing. I know there's a lot of folks right now that are a little bit apprehensive, kind of wondering what is going to happen after the elections. And so I know there's some folks that are holding back. There are others that are still plowing forward, and We are involved in some things that also we're kind of moving forward as well. But I understand those of you that might want to be holding back just a little bit to see what happens. But nonetheless, I hope you're doing well, and that everything is going well. Hopefully you're healthy and your family's doing well. And we are learning a lot of new stuff here about real estate investing. Hey, let's move to our tip of the week here, okay? Just a good bit of advice. This is from our friends at Roofstock. I thought it was a really good tip here. It's, as your portfolio grows, stop being a jack of all trades. So I know a lot of us old dogs, we like to get in there and kind of do things ourselves, especially if we are retired and we have the time, going in there and throwing on the paint ourselves or fixing a clogged sink or whatever it may be, is something that sometimes, you know, people like to do. They like to keep busy. But as you're growing that portfolio, it's going to be a little bit tougher to maintain all of those kinds of things and to be that on-site manager. So I say most of the time, a lot of new real estate investors, you know, convince themselves that they'll manage the property themselves. And that's fine as long as you have the time, energy, and know-how. But as the number of rentals grows, you will probably need to outsource that task. And this outsourcing comes at a cost. Obviously, if you get a property manager, you have to pay them for their service. So to avoid any nasty surprises when buying a property, consider crunching the numbers a little bit better to factor in this cost. Now, generally, a property manager, it could be anywhere from 6-7% up to 10-12%. It just depends on the market and whether or not you could find a quality person in the percentage rate that you want. But either way, it's not a lot of money for the most part. Granted, as you get more properties, it adds up, but that's where you negotiate into lower percentages. So the idea is to free yourself up so that you can have passive income, though. And that's the idea here, is to grow your portfolio and have a passive source of income. So if you can factor it in that way, you can hire a property manager. You have your fee factored into your profit and loss calculations. In the meantime, remember, you know, acting as your own property manager is an expense. So if you are doing it, well, you should be paying yourself at least 10%, for example. This way, it'll help lower the tax owed on the revenue you earn, and it helps to remind you that your time is worth more than a freebie. All right, well, let's move on to our topic, repurposing the next real estate trend. Now, just the last week, we had Neil Bawa on talking about real estate investing in this coronavirus economy and some of the things that we have to gear ourselves up for. And there are sort of winners and losers he went over in his presentation in this economy. Some of the winners are fortunately those of us that are doing rental properties, such as, you know, see the single family homes, small multis or apartment buildings. That's a good place to be right now because there's a strong demand and people do need a place to live, and that hasn't changed. Unfortunately, some of the ones that weren't doing so well are those that in the commercial sector, such as retail and office buildings. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how are owners of these types of buildings going to be able to sort of save themselves from having to either go bankrupt or give up those properties. And that's where repurposing comes in. Now, if you think back, the financial crisis of 2008 set the ball rolling on what can be dubbed as the retail apocalypse, right? A widespread closure of brick and mortar retail stores. Over the past decade, while physical stores succumbed to the digital revolution, e-commerce has witnessed exponential growth, right? I mean, Amazon warehouses are all over the place. With COVID-19 outbreak adding to their woes, physical retailers are being forced to either pivot or incur additional expenses. By one estimate, more than half of all U.S. departmental stores and malls will be vacant by 2021. I know that's our, I now have these references cited in the show notes if you want to see where these reports come from or this information comes from. What does this mean for commercial real estate owners? They're looking at a potential multi-level crisis. Negative ROI, tax liability, and the susceptibility of vacant properties to vandalism, criminal activities, and atrophy. In response, the Trump administration has been weighing the option of turning the glut of empty retail space into affordable housing, which, if the move materializes, will lead to a slew of policies favoring commercial to residential conversions. So there are a number of different things that are happening, and I've been reading articles about it for months now, where malls, for example, are losing some of its key stores. And what they're actually doing is they're kind of leveraging on the need for education for their kids, and so they have learning centers that are popping up in malls. So what it's doing is it's creating more traffic for them, but it's also providing an income source for those learning centers. It could be, you know, mathnastics, or it could be some other type of specialized learning, or just a tutoring center, or even, you know, maybe, you know, actual classes that could be being held in there. The idea is to generate traffic. So you take your kid to a class for training. The idea is you're going to walk around the mall and maybe buy some things and so forth. So there are a number of different things that are happening. But the idea is that some things are going to have to change in order for these buildings to be used again. And that's where repurposing comes in. It's sort of a new lease on life. Remote working is becoming the new normal. We've been talking about that a lot on the Old Dogs REI Network. And this new normal could lead to pruning of physical office space as well. And it already is for many companies. There's a general consensus emerging among real estate consulting firms on the dire outlook for commercial real estate in the near to medium term and a possible rebound in the primary market down the road. In other words, properties in the secondary market could soon fall out of favor, and since the next wave of demand is likely to be centered on value-driven commercial real estate, old building stock could fail to find takers. So you do have these businesses still needing space, but they may not need as much space if they have, you know, people working out of their homes. So under these circumstances, owners can consider repurposing underutilized commercial spaces into residential units. In fact, studies suggest that compared to new construction, adaptive reuse can be 16% cheaper in terms of construction costs and take 18% less execution time. So, in other words, instead of tearing down that mall and building up from the ground up for something else, using that existing building can save a lot of money if you can get it to work to meet the needs that you're setting it up for. Conversions are particularly actionable in over-retailed commercial real estate markets where e-commerce boasts a strong presence, but the affordable housing segment faces acute shortage. The notion applies to movie theaters as well. After the lockdown really hit their business pretty hard, it initially caused by a growth of online streaming services. But still, there's that need that people, you know, want to have. But there, a lot of people are, you know, using these spaces for everything from church meetings to, to using it as a place where you can put on plays and other things like this. They're finding a different way to use those. The mall owners, of course, are the one we've been hearing about for a while now. Facing a downturn in footfall, can convert retail stores into residential micro units with relative ease. Since malls and commercial spaces are often situated in city hubs, the repurposing can specifically be targeted to cater to young professionals who prefer accessibility to urban centers and easy access to public transport. There's a good aggregate demand for modernist compact. There's a good demand for modernist compact spaces in prime cities, driven by millennials who prefer flexibility, privacy, and affordability, entering workforces and rental markets in large numbers. Since the practice also embraces sustainability, it can be a value proposition in itself, in line with the expectations of eco-conscious end users. So the idea here is, yeah, you can use something. You don't have to tear down and build up. You can take existing things and shape them in such a way that they can be used to appeal to the needs of other maybe markets that you might not have considered. Additionally, an advanced step in adaptive reuse is to develop mixed-use, hybrid properties where you can preserve some of the commercial space and repurpose the rest, offering residents more value through co-working and collaborative space, which is a big thing right now. People still want to be able to have the dynamics of working with other people, and you can do that by these controlled workspaces. Such community-oriented developments could attract a premium from renters who seek both affordability and blended living in central hubs. In Seattle, a 41-year-old shopping center is being converted into a 300-unit apartment complex with underground parking, along with 90,000 square feet of space preserved for commercial activities. Wow, you've got these, you know, maybe older buildings that are getting sort of a new lease on life. Especially we can do a hybrid thing where you maybe the upper levels of that building that used to be commercial in nature or retail in nature could be converted to living spaces. And then the stuff below could still have, you know, a lot of kind of what you see in New York City. We have stores, you know, down below and apartments above, you kind of using that mixture, that hybrid. Today, when the health infrastructure is failing to meet the additional COVID-induced demand, repurposing untenanted commercial spaces for medical use also assumes a moral imperative. The same can be said about rehabilitating homeless citizens and the blue-collar workers who, due to economic recession and lockdown effect, are unable to pay hefty rents and are facing eviction. So whether or not you could take these downtown skyscrapers like you see in New York or LA or San Francisco and could actually convert those into low-income housing, I know that sounds like a stretch there. If there's a demand and there's a way to generate income, there's a very good possibility that you could create a profit center there. As an example of how governments can leverage conversion to address many crises, TechCrunch makes a compelling case. In San Francisco, apparently, there was roughly 150 million square feet of commercial space, including office and retail. If, say, the pandemic and its knock-on economic ramifications cause 20% churn, that translates to 30 million square feet of repurposable space. If repurposed, this could increase the city's residential stock by 10% at least, which in turn could generate jobs and help bring down inflated rental prices. Furthermore, a mere 2 million square feet of the repurposable space can be used to develop many 200 square foot mini apartments, which could rehabilitate every homeless person in the city. So there are some very unique things being created there. If you just get a small area, like a studio, that you could offer as residence for homeless or low-income housing, then that could be a great use for this space, as opposed to just being empty and hoping that things are going to turn around in the next 3, 5, 10, 12 years. Now, there are some deterrents, however. In theory, commercial to residential conversion could work wonders for an ailing asset class like commercial real estate markets. However, in practice, there are several regulatory bottlenecks to contend with. Zoning laws could present an issue, and local communities could take exception to the proposed redevelopment. In fact, many markets are devoid of a robust legal framework concerning conversions, which leaves room for complications. Some administrative bodies are considering eliminating some of the roadblocks hindering conversions by subsidizing the process and issuing new sets of dezoning or rezoning laws. Laborious approval procedures, could be simplified and accelerated, while exorbitant licensing fees should be slashed. Global real estate is currently undergoing a seismic shift in trends and consumer sentiment, and the sector could use a resizing between submarkets. To that end, commercial to residential conversion is among the few actionable solutions where benefits far outweigh the drawbacks. So there are a number of different things and a number of different, there are even malls that are, spacious inside, that are looking at converting into a residential and using that middle area for everything from little indoor mini, dog parks to maybe even a little kiosk that you might have already had in that mall where people could go and buy quick snacks and so forth. But it's an enclosed, safe area, and a lot of people kind of like that idea of going outside if you want to. But if you're in a place where Minnesota or someplace that's cold, good part of the year, that having an enclosed area where you could still jog and you could still do a lot of things through the old mall corridors there, it's just a matter of sort of creativity and how creative you want to get. I think that repurposing is not only an opportunity, I think, for enterprising real estate investors, but I think that there's going to be construction people also that are going to find ways to come up with retooling templates to be able to convert some of these properties that are not really generating the income that they should be because of the high vacancies that they're experiencing. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs REI website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled Repurposing the Next Big Real Estate Trend. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.